Welcome to TFP, the Theater Folk Podcast. I'm Lindsay Price, resident playwright for Theater Folk. Hello. I hope you're well. Thanks for listening. Welcome to episode 86. You can catch the links for this episode at theaterfolk.com/episode86. So today we have two directors on the podcast, two teacher directors, a high school teacher, Carolyn Greer, and a middle school teacher, Jessica Stafford. And they both put up productions of my play, Cobweb Dreams, at exactly the same time. And we're going to talk about how so many of the elements in both shows were similar, some identical, you know, the same set, for example, of course, the same script. And yet, the two shows that came out of their rehearsal process were so completely different. Character interpretation, okay? Where does it come from? How can you encourage your students to develop their own characters? Lots of great stuff, plus a little, you know, looming tornado. That always adds some action. Let's get to it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I have to tell you, I'm in a very unique situation right now. I don't usually, well, actually, that's a lie, too. That's the one thing you're not supposed to talk about in, like, podcasts is the weather, because nobody cares about the weather where you are, except that I'm currently in Owensboro, Kentucky, and I have Carolyn Greer here. Hello, Carolyn.
Hi.
And I have Jessica Stafford here.
Hi.
And we are in Jessica's house because it has a basement. Because there's a tornado. There's a tornado warning, which is the better. Which is
we have a watch.
One. We have a watch.
With a very good possibility of a warning.
Awesome.
So a week after snow's melted.
We have the weather channel on as the red area is flashing. And I'm here because Carolyn and Jessica, Carolyn at the high school and Jessica at the middle school, are premiering a play of mine, Cobweb Dreams. We have a high school version and a middle school version, which I think is very exciting.
It is.
And when we first started this, you guys were going to combine, and it was going to be a combined show. And what happened? Why did we get two shows?
We started out with the idea that I was going to direct the high school teacher, me, Carolyn, whatever, was going to direct, and Jessica was going to assistant direct, and we were going to partner, and she was going to do a lot of the tech. But when we went into the audition process, there was a lot of talent.
When you emailed me about this, you said over 100 kids had tried out.
Yes.
Probably 120, I would think.
In the beginning, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was just a lot of talent on both sides, and we knew that meant, I remember us talking about it, and saying, we don't want to understudy, we don't want to do that sort of thing, but that's turning away a lot of middle school talent that deserved to be seen on that stage in those roles.
Because we talked about doing two ensembles, we talked about having a live forest, using the kids as the forest,
mm-hmm.
so that the forest truly had those ears. But we realized there was no way to really showcase my kids mm-hmm. that could also handle the roles.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at Carolyn and I just kind of took a deep breath and I said, okay, well, here's my deal. If you will handle the directing, once you've blocked it, I will direct my end of it. And I think that stunned her. And then we said, okay.
And then you contacted me and I'm like,
right.
Well, first of all, as a playwright, it's like gold. Because, well, I get to see two versions. And this is really the reason that I wanted to have this conversation with you guys, which I think would be very useful for our listeners. And that is the whole notion of interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
We have this, is, and this is a classic case because you guys have the same set.
Yep.
High school, middle school is on the same set. They're working on the same. They're going to work on the same stage. They have the same costumes.
Most of them share costumes.
And they both have the same blocking because Carolyn, for the most part
mm-hmm.
did the big picture.
We blocked them together.
Yeah.
We blocked them together.
They shattered.
Mm-hmm. And yet you have two different, completely different shows.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. So what are some of the differences between the two shows?
I think the high schoolers understand the relationships much, the maturity of, especially mm-hmm. to Tanya and Oberon, and I think they understand that maturity a lot more than my kids do.
And I'll just say that Cobweb Dreams is it's sort of a parallel universe to A Midsummer Night's Dream. It takes place at the exact same time. It has some of the exact same characters, and yet focuses on a smaller fairy. So we have the characters like Titania and Oberon who are, you know, the king and queen of the fairies. Mm-hmm. And in the high school version, what are they like?
In the high school version, it's a little bit more Well, it's more mature. There are moments of a little bit more fire and anger, especially, you know, in the scene that you created, the wonderful scene where we see Titania giving permission or asking Oberon if he would like to have the changeling boy, which we don't see, which I love. That was one of my favorite things about this script, is seeing that. But it's a little bit more mature. It's a little bit more flirty than it is with the younger kids. My older kids, he kisses her hand and, you know, there are things like that. And then when you get to Bottom and Titania, you know, we have a little play on the sexuality of it all that you're not going to get from 2 8th graders.
Mm-hmm. And what are Titania and Oberon? How do you see them in your version, Jessica?
I hate to say it, it's almost like a teen angst. It's almost like, well, you broke up with me, or I'm not sure if you still like me. It's your typical middle school, kind of a love-hate relationship where you love to hate each other, but at the same time, there's still that chemistry that kind of keeps you hanging out.
There's still a little bit of innocence, isn't there?
There is. There's a lot of innocence there, which is nice. Yes.
And in the high school version, I find Oberon, he's got a menace to him.
Yeah.
That I just don't think that they have in middle school yet. They haven't learned that yet.
No, thank God.
Yeah.
And the boys and Ben, who's the middle school Oberon, has created this really humorous kind of oddity about his character where my high school boy is more, I'm a man.
Yes.
And he carries himself that way and he portrays it that way. I mean, he's an 18-year-old, he's not a man, but you know, but he carries himself that way. And then there's young Ben, who's an 8th grader, who has created this almost goofy.
Like a goofy bully.
Yeah. I mean, but it works. That's the cool thing, is that it still works. It plays differently. The relationship with Titania is very different, but it works.
And that to me means that the play is working.
Yes.
Where you can take a relationship and play it this way and it works. And you can take a relationship and play it in a completely other fashion and it works. I love that. I love that. And I think it's so important, particularly in high school and in the school environment, that there's not just one way to play things.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And we also have a couple of differences, too, with gender.
Yes.
Because one of the characters, so there's the main character, and then she has a couple of best friends, and one of them's name is Thicket. And in the high school version, it's played by a boy, and in the middle school version, it's played by a girl. And how does that interpretation come to play?
I think it's kind of cool. I mean, when we were casting the shows, we never sat down and said, oh, well, I think we need to have this gender difference. It was just who was right for the role, you know, and in relationship in the show, it works out nicely because for the guy, it's like that best pal because Cobweb, she is a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
And in Jessica's, the girl playing Thicket is a tomboy.
Mm-hmm.
The demeanor for each of them works, but yet it's a different relationship. And for my young man, he's like the best friend, guy pal in every teen romance. You know, every movie has the sidekick, best friend guy.
Yep.
That's him. And then that also changes the relationship with the other best friend, Willow, who at the high school, they've decided with their backstory that they're siblings. So her little high and mightiness really works well because he's the brother.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're all both best friends with Cogweb, your main character. And that's different from the middle school.
It is. And I think in everyday life, the girls that play Willow and Thicket, they have time together in other classes. I think for like, they're in like math team together, but they're not the buddy-buddy, but they have somehow formed this incredible friendship through this role, these two roles, that my Thicket, she's such a passionate girl in real life. And she is, she's vibrant and she's passionate. And I believe her every time that she puts her honesty there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's that friendship of understanding why they love Cobweb so much. They both get it. It's different how they love her, but you see a difference in how they touch and how they look at her and at each other. And I think, yeah, you know, I never saw Thicket as a boy. And I
didn't either. And yet I like it.
Yeah.
I love that, having that flexibility.
For me, that came from the fact that it is a female heavy lead show.
Yes.
And which is great. Don't get me wrong. We need those shows. But I had boys. I had some boys with some strength, and one in particular who, he wasn't an Oberon and he wasn't really a Bottom. He's a good guy. He plays good guy. He is a good guy. Number one, John Thomas is a great kid. He's got an exquisite voice. You know, he's a good guy, and he just played that well. So when we held auditions, it just came out of that, that he really handled the reading and the audition process really well. And it was right for him. He got it. He understood Thicket. And the funny thing is he actually is very good friends with the girl that plays Cobweb. They've grown up, you know, they've been friends since like fifth grade. So they are that friendship, which has been nice to extend it. So when Thicket really gets on to Cobweb, you know, towards the end of the show, my favorite scene of the show, there's that passion that can come yes. from that friendship.
Yeah.
That's going to be different than your Thicket doing it because, you know, the middle school Thicket is an eighth grader.
And my Cobweb is a fifth grader.
It's way different, isn't it?
It's extremely different because it feels not best friendish. It feels very protective and very, you know, you are going to literally break my heart because you're my sister.
And another thing that we talked about before is that there is a very specific moment in the play where the two characters, Willow and Thicket, talking about Cobweb, have this moment where they fear they're going to lose her.
Mm-hmm.
And the high school Willow and Thicket respond very differently than the middle school mm-hmm. Willow and Thicket. Jessica, how do they respond in that moment?
They respond with an understanding, but my Thicket reaches out to Willow and takes her hand.
And they hold hands and they walk away.
And they walk off.
Such a strong visual mm-hmm. connection between those two.
So sweet.
And Carolyn, they don't do that in the high school.
Right. I know, but you know, the funny thing is originally we blocked it that way as well. And it was my Thicket who said, it doesn't feel natural because I'm thinking of her as my sister and it's a sad moment for my sister. And I touch her on the shoulder, but it doesn't, that walking off together that way doesn't feel natural for my character. And that's when you, as a director, go, okay, when an actor feels that strongly about what their character would do and the path of their character, then you really support that. And I loved that he was honest and said, that doesn't feel natural. It doesn't feel comfortable. And they're older. And it's not that they're not comfortable touching each other. They're good friends and all that. But in the moment, he said, I just feel like I need to follow her out.
And give her her space.
And let Willow, who's really the saddest of all in that moment, let Willow go and I follow. And, you know, it's not the cute, sweet ending that you get by the handholding, which is so lovely, but it has its own merits.
Absolutely.
It has its own place, too. So that's it goes back to using different kids, and they're going to have different unique interpretations. And that's what's so great about the show. And, you know, I go in and I watch the middle school show. You know, when I watch the middle school show now, I watch it as a mom, which is a totally different because my son is in the show. And I can sit back and I can enjoy it and not think of it as, okay, well, they're not doing it the way my
you
kids
do it. Yeah.
And I love that they don't. You know, when we've helped each other, we've covered for each other in rehearsals, when we've had conflicts. And it's never been about forcing our ideas on each other's shows. It's been about supporting the ideas that were already developed.
Right. And it certainly could be because, like, you know, the partners, like the bottom and the bottom work together.
Mm-hmm.
The Oberon and Titania and the Oberon and Titania two shows work together. And I think what a great thing to have that support instead of, no, you should do it like this.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Well, I think what's interesting for me is I've never really worked in a school where the community, the kids have grown up together. I've always worked in schools where it was very transient.
Mm-hmm.
And so these kids have relationships with each other in real life. And I say that is the best and the worst thing about teaching in a community like this, because they know each other, they get along, they're such a tight-knit group. And the worst thing is they never shut up. So not only are you hurting cats, you're not only hurting cats in middle school with these kids up on stage, you're hurting cats who won't shut up. And
because of that history keeps coming out.
And it's the good history and it's the bad history. But I'll tell you what, when you have a group like that, it's a tight show
mm-hmm.
because there's trust.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to build that trust because that trust is there. And I'm grateful for that. It's one of the reasons I moved to the community.
Do you think that that's why the middle schoolers feel comfortable making their own choices?
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Because they trust each other.
It just sort of hit me mm-hmm. like they're looking to each other. They're not looking to the high school. They look to them for like respect and maybe some guidance, but not to copy their choices.
Right.
That's not happening at all.
No, they're not at all. They're not.
I even had my Titania. I wanted her to go and see what Carolyn's Titania was doing because I just wanted her to see the regal, the presence, just to kind of give her some of that confidence because, like many of us, she's kind of a sloucher. And she's not a sloucher and like she doesn't work. I mean, like she slumps.
Yeah,
and a lot of kids, and I'm a slumper. And I don't think she understood that when I said that to her. I just want to see, I want you to see how Titania's carrying herself at the high school. And she came to me after rehearsal and she said, I'm really not comfortable doing that because I'm nothing like Navy. Yeah. And I said, I said, you're right, Kennedy, you're nothing like Navy, and that's okay. I just wanted you to understand the presence. I said, but you know, you'll get the opportunity, and let's work with where we are, and I think you're going to understand where we're going. And the fact that she, as an eighth grader, had the courage to come up and sit and tell her director, I'm really okay with my not choices. Doing that. Yeah.
Well, her choices are fabulous.
She's making very fine choices. You know,
my Titania and her Titania are very, very different. One, they're very different types. Their physical types are very, very different.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have a very voluptuous, you know, mm-hmm. Titania.
And she plays with that.
Oh, she plays. Yes. She uses her body. But she's also already played the big, bold. My Navy was also my Ursula last year.
Right.
You know, so she's played that. So, you know, there are times where I think I want my Titania to be this or to be this. But I trust her to take a route that she wants to take because it is educational theater.
Yes.
And we have to step back some time and allow them to take their interpretation, just like you did with Kennedy. Kennedy yes. came to you and said, I'm not comfortable doing it this way. Well, we have to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that leads to why our shows are so different. Because in that educational setting, yes, we are guiding, and kids always hate hearing, but it's the director's vision.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But we both make sure that we give them leeway to try. So John Thomas can come to me and say, I'm not going to hold her hand because that moment doesn't work. You know, or your bottom and your Titania can look at me and go, I'm not holding her hand.
Yes.
You know, you don't have to, you know.
Yes. I mean, they're horrified that right now they're doing a micro slow dance on the stage.
Oh, they nearly died the other day.
I mean, it's, you know, and I think one thing they're grateful for is they know that I say, you don't have to kiss on my stage. You have plenty of time to do that in high school. I'm extremely conservative with my middle schoolers. And so I think they know they can trust that too, that I'm not going to put them in a situation that is ridiculously uncomfortable to the point. But I think slow dancing with someone that you were boyfriend girlfriend with in second grade is okay.
Die.
Is okay.
First grade.
Two other characters, or one other character who has pretty different interpretations is Puck. Again, we have Puck played by, in both ways, because one, they're both played by different genders. We have a girl in the middle school and a boy in the high school.
Right.
And I also think that beyond that, they're different interpretations.
Yes.
Your Puck is mean, you know? Yeah. And is she wearing the same outfit?
No.
Okay,
no,
I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
No. Okay, that's funny. That's she really interesting.
Yeah. He's like that big. He's a tiny little thing. Again, that comes from a female mean and a male mean.
It's different.
Are
so
very different.
And
he's young. He's a freshman. She's an eighth grader. They're only a year apart.
He's pretty playful, though.
Yeah.
They've acted together. They've
worked together, but they, you know, he takes sneaky and mean to mean something very, very different than what, I mean, Carter does his thing and Gracie, she does her thing. And they're very different. But again, you know, it plays. You know, he's with an Oberon who is a head taller than him.
Actually, you know what? That makes a really good point about how you have to like balance relationships. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't work if Carter was mean because then you have mean.
Right. Because Oberon handles the mean and the mean presence because, you know, Will is a senior. He's a foot taller than Carter, who plays our Puck is. You know, he's a broader guy. You know, Carter's a skinny thing. I mean, he's athletic, but he's small. You know, he's slim. And it just has a balance. Whereas I think Gracie's almost Ben's height.
Yeah.
In your production of it. And Gracie can go the mean girl route.
And she does.
And Ben does the aha.
And that was a tough thing with Gracie because she also dances. And so she was thinking, you know, we were starting off like with the whole punk thing, saying it was kind of a punk feel. Well, then all of a sudden I had like this hip hop look. And it was, for me, it looked awkward and she didn't look comfortable and she felt a little lost. And finally, I just sat down with it. It was just this week, too. I finally sat down with it and I said, I need you to be more like the girl who's telling you, it's okay if you do it. You're not going to get caught.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you build up that trust in a sweet way. But then every now and then you see that little evil child come out and say, come on. And that's when Gracie's role as Puck, I think, really took off this week.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
All of a sudden, she looked like, okay, I'm good now. And she looks comfortable on the stage again. And it was nice.
She looks like one of the punk. She looks like one of the punk fairies, whereas Carter doesn't necessarily.
He does not.
But there's a great thing of her interpretation. We have one Puck who is very much in, Oberon is kind of the one that's very separate in the middle school. He's very separate in his behavior and his tone. And the rest of the fairies, like, when they go shame, cobweb on her, all of them look like they're going to tear her to pieces. It's a really great moment. Mm-hmm. And in yours, it's like Oberon and his underlings. And your underlings are a little bit more foolish.
Yes.
And Puck fits in with, and then Puck... Mm-hmm. That's where Puck comes
in. He's somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, he's in between.
He's in the middle, yeah.
Well, and I think that I am one of those people that I like to kind of dig in the creepy, you know? I do. I like things that are a little bit creepy. I like to kind of feel a little uncomfortable, and it's not, that's why I don't want them to feel uncomfortable in a romantic situation.
Because maybe we can get a little uncomfortable in a different way.
Yes.
And that works, too, for you because your...
Sick sense of humor.
Well, that's true. your
like
flower fairies, you know, when you're looking at the different kinds of... Your water fairies and your flower fairies and your woodland fairies. And then we started calling... You called them Oberon fairies. Oberon's fairies. And we started referring to them as the punk fairies because it just made sense, you know, in their...
They have their own
identity. And the kids speak to that. But, you know, yours are... My punk fairies are more sneaky and playful and manipulative. And the mean for mine are the flower fairies.
Right.
Your flower fairies and your punk fairies have a different kind of mean. But that makes sense for a middle school group to have that kind of mean because it's going to translate differently in their own personality, in their own world.
Yes.
You know, where our flower fairies are, you know, I kept telling the girls with the flower fairies and boy, because, you know, we have at least one boy
in every group.
And I did that consciously because I wanted that. I didn't want it to have the stigma of, oh, if you're a flower fairy, you must be a girl.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a water fairy, because you're ditzy, you have to be a girl. And I think the two boys that I have in each of those are doing really well of keeping that attitude. But I kept telling the girls of the flower fairies, think of the movie Mean Girls.
Yep.
Which is funny because I have never seen that movie.
You know what they are.
But I know it. And I, you know, and the girls are like, you've never seen it. But, and the minute you can give them that clear image, then they, you know, they take to it. And we used that kind of imagery when they auditioned. You know, I had them in rows walking across the stage as the different types of fairies. And we talked about, you know, the sounds or the attitude or the thought process that, you know, I remember saying to them, if you're a woodland fairy, it's sort of a dum-dee-dum-dee-dum-dee kind of movement. You know, it's a heavy, thuddy kind of movement where the water fairies aren't and the flower fairies are different, you know. And it was really cool to see that even the middle school kids and the high school kids, how they would interpret each
what
type
that
of
meant.
Fairy. And it was cool to see how they interpreted it. Because you'd say a water fairy's kind of clueless and innocent and sort of lost. What does that mean? And you would get, you know, 50 different interpretations of that, which was really awesome.
I even think the water fairies are, you know, they're your ditzy group.
Love them.
They're fabulous.
They're my favorite. But sparkles are even like they're at their core, they're the same characters in the middle school and the high school. And yet the variances are very interesting. And I know your sparkle is new to
your
role. And yet, but she's a little bit like the high school water fairies. She's because she's a bit of a dancer. She's up on her toes. And your middle school fairy is a bit more flat out.
Like she could almost be a woodland fairy because she's on the verge of clumsy.
She is on the verge of clumsy.
Because she's so tall already at sixth grade.
But she's like, it's enthusiasm clumsy.
Yes.
It's enthusiasm. It's a different type.
It's big puppy clumsy.
It's big puppy clumsy.
Yes.
And it's perfect for water fairies.
Uh-huh.
And yet, you know, the delicate, a little bit delicate, twirly.
Erin's more like a butterfly.
Yes.
Water fairy. You know, I mean, she's...
Yeah.
And I love that for Erin because Erin is not like that as a human being. Erin is very...
Very serious.
Very serious. Just... Straight-laced service. She doesn't like. She doesn't like to be touched, and that we just laugh about that because we're like, we're gonna hug you, Erin. No, you know. I mean, she's that kind of, and she's a very intelligent young woman, and she's a very talented young woman. But to see when I cast her as Sparkle, everybody was like, "Are you kidding?" I mean, I think they were really surprised, though they saw how well she did in auditions. But if you know her, and then to see what she's doing on stage, and she's only a sophomore, and to see the physical that she created, at no time did I ever say to her, I need you to do this as a water fairy. And she immediately took to it and ran with it. And that's one thing that's been really, really wonderful about this play is that each type of fairy is so clearly identified that you don't have to give them every single thing. I mean, we're talking about interpretation, but yet so much of it is what the kids interpret.
Yes.
And what the actors choose in terms of their flower fairy or their water fairy or their woodland fairy. It's written there for them. And so we can just guide. And then we can look at the big picture and pull things together. Or we can look at the minute details and pull it together because the fairy types are written so clearly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the only ones that I feel like we put a real stamp on, so to say, is really the fairies in waiting.
Mm-hmm.
And making their look or their theme butterflies as opposed to flowers and water. And, you know, because they've matured, they've aged up into the senior things. And that was the only place that where we discussed, what kind of fairies are they?
Yeah.
And that was really cool, though, because, the girls had theories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my high school girls sat down and had theories based on what their character did or what their character said.
And we had to have a big conversation about that because this is another thing about how I interpret the fairies just in my own head and on the page. And then to have that come back and they're like, well, we think so-and-so was a water fairy. And me to go,
which was interesting because... Yeah. After that conversation that we had on Facebook,
It was Moth.
It was the high school Moth. And I said something after. I didn't, because my Moth and I were always like, well, no, she's a woodland fairy. And so I asked Adelie, who's my Moth. I said, hey, Adelie. I said, what kind of fairy do you think you are? She said, well, really, Stafford? I said, yeah, I just want to know what you think. She said, I'm a woodland fairy. Don't you see how I connect with Cobweb? Mm-hmm. And I went, well, okay, eighth grader. Good for you. You know, but I could see how water fairy could also come to mind because I think it's just the kindness. I've always felt that people who are very, it's almost like a down to earth person.
Mm-hmm.
Woodland is the down to earth. And you see that
the water was sweet. It was really cool because the three of them sat down together and they made the determination and they knew that mustard seed, the main one, that she's definitely a flower.
Yeah.
I mean, they there was no question about that. And then that peas blossom. Originally, their thought was that Peas Blossom was a woodland fairy who had matured and just didn't see it anymore. And then that made Moth a water fairy because she's sweet and she tries to help, you know. But then when I went back to them and said, okay, I talked to Lindsay, and this is where she feels. And they went, oh, okay. And it wasn't an argument. It wasn't an issue. It was like okay, well, I can go there. I understand that. And then that made some interpretation changes, mm-hmm. too.
Yeah.
Again. Choices made by the kids to take what you wrote and go with it, which is really nice to see. And when you're looking at an established program and you're bringing in a lot of new kids, and quite a few of the cast members have very little theater experience. You know, my Moth and my Peas Blossom both don't have a ton of theater experience. You know, so for them to come in and sit down and find their own way and work at it is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Do they look at, when you have your students who don't have a lot of experience, do they look and see what the others are doing and they see that they're making choices? Or is it just because the environment is
good? I'm the queen of backstory. I think that you don't go on stage. You don't work until you start to know who you are. So I'm very demanding about creating backstory. And they were given time in the rehearsal process to sit down. And they actually sat down one day with their younger counterpart, mm-hmm. and talked to them and discussed. And I give them a series of questions and they answer those questions. And, you know, we talked about even to the point of what kind of, you know, fairy are you? What kind of fairy do you not like? What kind of fairy do you bond with? How do you feel about Titania? How do you feel about Cobweb? How do you, mm-hmm. really made them ask themselves questions. Kind of like you were talking about in the writing workshop. You know, asking these series of questions. And I think that's the starting point. And then when these younger actors or these newer actors see those kids digging deep.
Yes.
And knowing how to answer questions in character. I think that leads them to that.
When I was in one of your classes today, Jessica, mm-hmm. It was really interesting because they were asking about character development. And I said, a really great exercise is to, what is your bedroom like? And you could see them all kind of like, oh, that's really neat. And then, just to see, and I say to those of you who are in Cobweb Dreams, what would the bedroom of your fairy be like? You know, what would it look like?
And I've randomly found scripts, as often happens, that they just get left on the stage. And they had all their questions in there that we originally asked. Mm-hmm. And I saw most of them are half done.
Uh-huh.
And the answers are that some of them didn't understand the answers are first person. It's how do I feel about them? And I think that tomorrow, before we start rehearsal, I think we're going to answer those questions again. Okay. Because by now,
they should know.
Because they don't have that ability, even though they try, because they're in such, and I hate to say, they're such a box in a classroom with how to write stuff that they don't know how to create a character from nothing. Oh, they don't realize that they do it on a regular basis, because as soon as you make up a rumor about someone, you're creating this character from nothing.
Yep.
But they struggle with that. I mean, if I said, okay, well, you know, let's take Toy Story and start with, you know, Buzz Lightyear, they can give me a backstory because they know the story. I think by now, 2 days before a show, we should be able to sit down and have a quick discussion about that, which should lead to them having longer discussions before the show. But that's helped. I think actually that's something that we need to do with middle school more often. I need to do middle school more often is give them the questions in the beginning, have them answer the first time, and then halfway through revisit it. And then a week before we go on stage, we need to revisit it again. And I think that's...
We mentioned one day, we talked about one of the things that I wish we had done. And we just, you know, when you lose 10 days of school, you run out of time.
So the weather here in Owensboro has been freaky-dee. So many days to snow. And so we're here and we're like, hey, the snow is gone. And now, you know, we're sort of looking out the window right
it's
now.
It's raining, the wind's blowing.
We should be opening house in
Yes, it's supposed to be opening night tonight. And, you know, they want people to be safe. You
What's
know,
up
right.
with that?
What's up?
But we had talked about, there's a wonderful moment in Cobweb Dreams when Cobweb says, when Titania calls my name to be in the train, I should have said, no thanks. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to go waddle around in a mud puddle or something like that. And I said to Jessica, it would be a really good exercise if you had a scene, we just in a rehearsal of Titania calling forth her newer fairies in waiting and seeing how Cobweb would respond, would, you know, oh my gosh, you know, the fear or the anxiety or the anger or whatever it was to then step up to the plate and take that job on, or how Mustard Seed, who wants it so bad as a flower fairy, you know, that sort of thing. Had we had time, that would have been a really great exercise and something that I would have loved to do. We just ran out of time.
It's always such a great idea to all those, any scene that's in a play, which is not mentioned or informs a character to stage it so that when an actor is talking about it, it's actually informing them because they lived through it.
Right.
Yeah. Did you think the two shows would be so different when you started?
I knew they would have to be.
There's language, there's dialogue that's different for the ages, but...
Well, I just knew that my kids would just read things differently.
Yeah.
That they would carry themselves differently, that they would... Gosh, we spent a week on the stage where they didn't even touch each other in friendship. It was like, you know, you guys have known each other for you know, you're 12, you know each other for 11 years. You can put your hand on their shoulder. And I think they're scared to try some of their things on their own because they don't want to look stupid in front of each other. That's just middle school. You don't want to look dumb. You don't want to be laughed at. It's the fear of the middle school age. And sometimes when you pull together 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, and they're not all in a class together with that connection. It's new people. You do have that fear all over again. So you go from that safe zone that we talked about earlier because you've known each other for years, but that's in your grade or maybe in those two grades. When you span 4 grades,
that's it's a lot different. To get over.
But it's the same way but with high school.
But I think in high school, there's a new...
You're spanning those 4 years too, and you're spanning...
But you're more comfortable with who you are, I think, a little bit more.
I think, to some degree, but then you have the high school rock stars.
Yes.
You know, you have those kids that people admire or look up to or respect, or you don't want to, you know, you don't want to let that group down. You know, if you have a scene with Cobweb, you don't want to not be ready, you know.
Right.
Or if you're in a scene with Titania or you're in a scene with, you know, whomever, there is that pressure of I'm a freshman, I'm playing Puck, and Oberon's a senior. Mm-hmm. You know, Cobweb's a junior, and they have all this experience and they have all this, you know, background. But when it goes back to the idea of the shows being different, I think we knew it would be. I don't know if we knew how. And how uniquely different in that. I mean, those middle school kids are strong. Mm-hmm. She has a strong, established group of kids. And I it's a joy to go and watch their work. I mean, I absolutely love it. And I, you know, being the mom of a kid in the program, I've watched all those kids grow up too. So it's really cool for me to see it, but then to step in and see it as the theater teacher coming in, and I know that that's what I've got coming to me, it's really cool. So seeing them do the same show, it's different. And it's awesome that it's different because there would be nothing worse than having, one of the middle school students sit and watch my high school kids production and be able to put every single moment together because it was the exact same
thing.
Copy it. Yeah.
That's just no fun.
No. And I just think, I think that's really the remarkable thing. I think it's the same thing. I mean, I thought, oh, this is so great. I just get to see two different age groups tackle it. Mm-hmm. And what are the challenges of the age groups? And I don't know if I ever thought about how nuanced the two different shows would be, and what a joy that is to see the same script tackled in one way and then tackled, you know, completely in the other, and that they both work equally well. It just makes my day.
Well, it makes ours too.
But one of it's really cool too was noticing you laughing at things that were funny with middle school that high school didn't make funny. It was just funny because of delivery or a look on a kid's face, you know, or the timing. I think to me, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just, and I work really hard to make sure that our shows aren't considered cute. I like our shows to be good, good, solid shows, clean shows. And if they happen to be cute as well, that's great. But, you know, this is a fun show. Mm-hmm. It's a funny piece. We love the show. But I watch the high school version, and I think, that's a really good show. And then I go watch mine, I think, that's a really cute version of that show.
Man, you know what?
But it's good.
I think you're selling yourself short.
I think it's cute.
I think it's a good show.
It's a good show.
But
the kids are cute because
they're costumes.
Because they're cute.
Pieces, and they're just cute kids.
Yeah. You know what? They're being themselves.
They're not
trying to be high school.
No.
They
know who they are.
They know who they are and they're being themselves. And I think that's wonderful.
I love the slight awkwardness that sometimes appears from the middle school world.
Yeah.
And it appears on the stage. You know, you watch kids fall over nothing and it's just how many cobwebs are on the stage at a time.
And even when it's not great. A fairy.
Right.
You know, and it's a human. I think that's the cool thing is that there's that youthfulness that, and I mean, we're talking about teenagers. Teenagers are babies. They're young, but there is an innocence and a youthfulness that those children can't help but bring out on a middle school stage.
Maybe it's not cute that I'm looking for. It's sweet.
It's sweet, yes.
It's sweetness.
It's adorable.
Yes.
A perfect example of that is the cobwebs.
Yes.
Yes.
Because they are your cobweb, middle
Avery.
School cobweb. Avery. Thank you.
Avery.
Fifth grade, yeah. Avery is just a, is just a, is a, is a.
Tiny.
In sprightly. They're both sprightly.
Yeah.
But it's so different. Like the high school.
Kelsey
is a little bit that sneaky, what can we get away with?
Yes.
And it's just that kid, she's so true to her age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how that just, that again, it's the same character and it's just two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's delightful. It's delightful, if I do say so myself.
Well, yeah, she's feisty.
Oh, she's, and they're, you know, it's so funny because they are very different portrayals.
Absolutely.
But they both work.
And
I mean, I look at Avery and I think, you're just the cutest little thing. I mean, she is. She's this tiny
little thing.
You know, little short little thing and such a fireball of energy. And, you know, I remember Kelsey, who's mine, that age. And that was, Kelsey was like that. You know, Kelsey had that fire to her and that energy. And now Kelsey's, you know, a junior in high school and there's a maturity to her.
Mm-hmm.
But yet you put her on stage and she brings back the clumsy and she's the mischievous one, but she's really clumsy. And I love that about Cobweb is that she's such a clumsy little fairy. But, you know, Kelsey brings that and it's so much fun to see Kelsey do that because it brings a nuance that's different than Avery, who's just so sweet and so innocent and adorable and just, you know, like, wah.
It's pretty much the epitome, I think, of the two of what you get in a middle school and what you get in high school.
Yeah.
And they work.
And they work.
They both work.
And it's cool that it works.
Yeah. Very.
This has been so awesome. Thank you so much for talking to me. It's so funny, guys. We are literally like, if we just keep looking out the window.
We're literally watching the red dot get bigger.
I just turned around and looked at the TV. The red dot approaches. Okay.
Huge.
We promise we'll be safe. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lindsay.
Thank you, Carolyn and Jessica. I have to say, as a playwright, I love conversations like this. I love experiences like this where, you know, schools take my work and they bring it to life. And I love knowing that a script of mine put in two different hands can have two completely different results. That's very satisfying. And it kind of means that that play can, you know, it can be released into the world. And I can be feel very satisfied in knowing that there are many different ways to play a character. Character interpretation, I love it. And I think it is, I think it's the backbone plays. I've said it before, if character is the only thing you focus on, you cannot help but have an interesting theater experience for your audience. So make sure you check out the show notes for this episode at theaterfolk.com/episode86. And before we go, let's do some Theater Folk news. So we have another drama teacher hangout this week, Saturday, April 5th at 3 p.m. I adore these. I love sitting down and having a conversation about topics, which I know are helpful for our teachers because we get feedback. You know, we get feedback that I thought I was alone. I thought I was the only one who had this problem. It was so great to get some new tips. So we're going to keep on doing them until the masses revolt, which I hope they don't revolt. That would be an interesting thing. And our topic for this week's hangout is monologues, monologues, monologues. Finding, choosing, and performing the monologue. Sometimes it can be the bane of a student's existence to choose and rehearse a monologue. Like, where do I find a good one? What do I do with it? It can be overwhelming, and it can certainly be the bane of a teacher's existence to have to sit through monologues, poorly prepared monologues, poorly developed, poorly presented monologues. I'm not sure, I do know, because I have sat through adjudication of monologues where it's basically from 8 a.m. in the morning until 5 p.m. at night. I have experienced the, well, I'm not going to say the horror, but the interesting day of watching monologues over and over and over again. And you want good ones. We want good ones. So let's talk about it. Let's get some tips, you know, let's get some good information out there, right? So check the show notes, theaterfolk.com/episode86 for the register link. Join us, share your tips, or get some new ones for yourself. Finally, where or where can you find this podcast? We post new episodes every Wednesday at theaterfolk.com and on our Facebook page and Twitter. You can find us on youtube.com/theaterfolk. You can find us on the Stitcher app, and you can subscribe to TFP on iTunes. Go there, search on the word Theater Folk, find us, listen to something, tell us what you think about it, give us some feedback. That would be awesome. And that's where we're going to end. Take care, my friends. Take care.